Welcome to Drunk on Comics, episode 193. We just got back in town to the studio, and we had a lot of fun at C2E2. Met some fans of the show, and even more great comic book creators. Unfortunately, we had some equipment failure, slash human error. We don't know which. However, somehow, we recorded no audio from almost the entire weekend, which is a great bummer to us, to say the least. We do have an episode of us roaming around the hotel at the convention, being drunk and stumbling with some friends, which we were able to recover. In this episode, we are joined by Jimmy of the Ninja Starship podcast, Jay of An Elekin Weapon, and Derek of Comic Pros and Cons, sitting down to reminisce about the con floor. We were also able to sit down with an artist trying to break into the comic book world, and what it's like to submit a portfolio to the big comic book publishers. We may have lost a lot of great content, but we still retain the insights we got, which I'm sure we will be bringing up on future episodes while the con season gets on in full swing. So grab a drink and enjoy Drunk on Comics, episode 193, Reminiscing at the Bar.
The morning after podcast after dark. It was a little rough.
That was a great night.
It was really
tons
fun.
Of hangover.
Yeah. Rough but really fun.
Well, our usual thing is when we're done with con is a good time for podcasts to meet up with people and pod with the guests or celebrities or whatever. But they were smart enough to remove them from the location and the premises and take them somewhere secret. Because I guess last year it got really bad here in the bar area. And pretty much the con just kept going and moved from the convention floor to the hotel lobby.
It was insane that there were still people just partying in the lobby at 3 a.m.
That section was not... It was nuts over here in the bar area always and how busy it was still. But imagine putting some comic book guests in here and them getting bugged. But there were more fucking people than I've ever seen at the after party, which is great. It's fun. I like interacting with other people, but also sucks for us where we want to hang out with these people that...
Yeah, we want to meet the creators.
Yeah.
They're not here.
But good times, drinking, having fun.
Oh, hell yeah. That was a super fun. It's been a super fun weekend.
Yeah, man. The con's been great. I mean, fuck, we got so much that we could talk about, like costumes, man. Seen some good,
great cosplay.
Yeah.
Great cosplay. Yeah.
Have also seen some not so great.
Yeah.
I love the creativity of some of them. I'm like, I could have thought of that, or I could have did that, or that's a unique way to do that. The only time we've ever dressed up was when we did our shitty Avengers, and it was just fun, but we purposely made them shitty.
Yeah.
I won a contest for that, which was awesome.
That's great.
I was Iron Man, and I don't know if you guys see the pictures, but like I took an actual iron and hollowed it out and put some LED lights behind it so it glowed like the reactor.
Nice.
That was fucking sweet. But had just a red jump track suit. But some of them here, good. There are some, though, that should not be worn.
Mm-hmm.
When you kind of have a... And I'm not trying to, like, stereotype body types, but sometimes those work for some people, sometimes it doesn't. Saw a person just walk around in bra and thong. Literally,
it wasn't even a costume. It was just like lingerie. That was the costume. It's
and
like, come on,
the person didn't have the body for it, and it was just like, that's awesome that you have no shame. But there are kids here, you know. We don't need to be seeing that. Yeah. But then there's people that like had fun. Like I saw the XL men, bigger dudes.
That's
that were
that was awesome.
Yeah, made it work for them.
XL men.
And then the little BB-8 girl who I still think is the greatest, but
there's a Wookiee. You see the Wookiee with the braids, the dreads yesterday, like a really tall one? That was a really impressive Wookiee.
I just saw this Ewok on a speeder, and it was like half the dude's body. So he's just walking around with what looks like a speeder on top of him. It was hilarious.
Nice.
And it was one of those things where I'm like, that's creative.
Okay.
So you can just, like, go with his body and stuff.
Yeah.
Did you guys see the Hulkbuster? walking around. Oh my God, he was huge.
They cleared a spot for him to come in. Like, he didn't even have to wait in line. Like, he started going through, and they were like, no, open it right up, and here comes Hulkbuster walking in. I'm like, that was awesome.
And that's something that used to get an argument with a certain someone of cosplayers, and he always was under the thought of they don't buy anything, they take away, they should be charged more because they're not buying anything. And where I always thought, they should have discounts.
Yeah, they spend.
Yeah, they spend hundreds people to come thousands to, see them. To make someone yeah. that yeah. they should really get a discount pass, something like exhibitor pass.
They're attractions in their own way, you're yes. right.
Yeah, you know, and that's part of the reason. But
you know what, I bet you, it's not like they spend all 3 days in costume. I'm sure they take some time and buy some stuff.
And plus they're doing different costumes all the time. Like, they're coming and investing in this, really.
And like, even, like I said, even the shitty ones, people, they had a passion to do it. That's awesome mm-hmm. for them. And
maybe it's their first time. You know?
Yeah.
But they did it.
Yeah.
That's all that matters.
I don't see the other half dressing up.
Right.
Like,
they're having
everyone
fun with their friends. What the hell does it matter with that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I find that one of the best ordeals of the convention. But as has always been said, though, with conventions, they've turned into more of a media-type circus than comic book convention. Mm-hmm. It's something I know that's the reality, and that's just what it is. And then also kind of like a toy fair, too. But that's also what I love, all that shit when I come here. I'm not just looking at
You get
at
a little
comics.
Bit of everything.
You get a little bit of everything. This one, though, I mean, it's a great show. They have a huge artist alley. I actually haven't even seen the media row just because didn't really feel
cool.
like going.
It's
but
good.
Yeah.
It's lighter today than yesterday. It was really packed.
Yeah.
I bought more comic books at this show than any show I've ever been at.
Really?
I'm going home with I got a stack of comic books, and and they're all India. Nothing like out of the boxes or anything. All from creators here, so I'm excited.
Yeah,
I like to be fair, like five of them are Source Point Press books, but
yeah, I bought a lot of Source Point books.
Yeah, we definitely had a giant fuck up yesterday with all of our audio being lost, and it sucks.
It happens though.
But
part of the.
We still
it's working now, though, right? All right.
We're not recording any of this shit. No. But one of those things is it sucks to not have that, but we still have the knowledge of the shit that we learned, that we will still talk about it to come with our listeners. It does suck for them. You guys should all be at the convention anyway, so you can know this stuff. Mm-hmm. But if you're not, that's one of the reasons why I love going to convention, is to relay the awesomeness of what it is to be
the
on the con floor. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have our con family, as I always called it, and it's great to see some of our personal friends that do stuff that I don't get to see on a regular basis. We will chat and talk on Facebook, but like, really it's convention seasons when I get to see them and hang out with them. It does suck. Well, first half of them too, we're going to see them at other conventions, so we'll get to re-interview them.
Oh yeah.
It just always is. It's one of those things that sucks. It's like, this is, podcasting is like my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to see your baby get hurt. And this is like a flu. Like, no.
When you lose a track, a little piece of you dies inside.
Yeah. Very true.
So that totally sucks. But one of the most amazing things that wish we could have gotten recorded was our cab ride.
Oh my God.
Yeah, that was
that original
just
novel magazine?
Weird.
Yeah,
did you have a good driver or something?
No, I didn't hear about this.
You did.
This Uber driver, who then, he's like, man, it's busy here in town. And we said, well, there's a convention going on. That had nothing to do with the city of Chicago being busy. Like, the convention is big, but it doesn't fill Chicago streets big.
Right. We're like River North, which is always busy anyways.
Yeah. And so the dude, he got lost as it was to pick us up. But then we said we were at a comic book convention, and he was just like, the Marvel magazine? I had a Marvel magazine number one. Man, how much would that have been? And we were like, we don't know what the hell he's talking about, but we're trying to indulge him. And this is when I was like, I need to record this conversation. It sucks that we lost the audio, but it went legitimately almost like this. Like, man, how much? And we're like, maybe $1 million. And he's, man, I had $1 million in my hand. Whoa. holy crap, man, is that Lou Ferrigno? Is he still? Is he there? Is he still alive? Oh, he's dead. I was like, no, Lou Ferrigno's alive.
Yeah, very much alive and huge.
Yeah, and then the conversation just went down there because he could not name Walt Disney, even though we told him Walt Disney.
No, that was the best. Yeah. Like, he got to a point where he said Lou Ferrigno like a million times. Like, man, I'm so glad you told me that. And then he dropped us off at the way other side of McCormick Place across the highway, which was an additional 10 minutes, which I was only okay with because it was 10 more minutes hanging out with this dude. But also, like, I want to get back and party and hang out with you guys.
Yeah.
What ends up happening is that's when he goes, man, the guy, the person that made Walt Disney, we're like, or Mickey Mouse. We're like, yeah, Walt Disney? No, no, no. It'll come to me, I think. Like, we're like, no, Walt Disney.
That ain't him, I'm telling you.
And then he goes on and he goes on and he goes, man, Mickey Mouse, man, who created it? Walt Disney, like, Walt Disney World. No, 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 I know Mickey is part of Walt Disney World, but, like, man, the person that... And we lost it. And then he went on about Barbie.
Walter Disney.
You know, I think that Deadpool may have competition as the most cosplayed cosplay. You know who I think's coming up the ranks? Peter Quill.
There's been a good amount of those.
There are more Star-Lords year after year now. That they can start to get up
this
there.
Convention has also answered the hashtag, where's Rey?
Oh, holy crap.
Yeah, lots of Rey.
Good night, Harley Quinn. You can go to sleep now because Rey woke up. Holy shit.
Yeah. No, but like I said, well, yeah, going back cosplays, the biggest that I saw was a lot of Furiosa and a lot of Matt. And,
yeah, that's
and
so
still
cool.
Even then, but yeah, Rey is another top contender. And like you said, there will always be Deadpools at all these things.
Dude, I saw three Quail Boys from Doug.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw someone, I didn't know what the fuck he was last night at the bar after party. This huge, like yellow hair coming out of the side. I was like, what the fuck is that?
Oh, yeah,
it
was like way out the side. Yeah, I've seen that. I don't know who it is.
Arnold.
Oh.
You see that show?
Oh, yeah.
He has that football, like, long.
Yeah.
That's what it was. And I was like,
I didn't put that together.
Yeah, I didn't either until I saw the hat. And I'm like, I know what that is. I wouldn't have, because it had to be a little more football shaped and it wasn't. But, like, he was trying, and I could have easily gone up and said, who are you? But that was one of those dawning moments. I'm like, yes, I'm glad that I know who that person was supposed to be.
Right, deep cuts, too. I mean, hey, Arnold, that's great.
Yeah. Some of these people, like, are obscure. I don't know a lot of anime, but I do know some, like Attack on Titan or anything. Yeah, sure, I'll know those people, but you know they're anime because of the way that they're dressed and how they look. But
oh, yeah. I love seeing the Trigun characters, man. Yeah. They look so cool.
And that's the thing. If I know the anime, I'm like, happy shit. The other ones, I don't know, but I'm like, that still looks cool.
You can, the anime cosplays really stand out from everything else. It's just got that look to it.
I feel like I really want to go to an anime con sometime.
There's a huge one in Toronto called Anime North.
When's that?
And, I'm not sure, but it's huge. And Josh out in Denver goes to, it's a big anime one out in Denver he goes to as well. He always has a great time.
Yeah, the only one I know of is Yuma-Con.
I think it's called Nandesu-Con. Okay. Or something like that.
Yeah, we were talking about how we're definitely going to come up to Canada for we were talking about the Fan Expo. However, just with that weekend and knowing that we're always busy because it's fucking our Labor Day weekend, which sucks.
It's our Labor Day weekend too, man.
You guys have Labor Day? Do you guys have Christmas?
Yeah, but it's in June.
And Boxing Day.
Everything's in June. All our holidays.
How's your Thanksgiving?
Are in June. That's the one holiday that's not the same as yours, I think, is Thanksgiving. Yeah.
But we have other ones. Love your 4th of July fireworks?
We love our July 1st Canada Day fireworks.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You do have Canada Day, which
Canada had a birthday.
Close enough to to us to have the same kind of weekend
pretty much
off.
But we also have, we call it May 2-4.
What?
And it's Victoria Day, which is Queen Victoria's birthday. And that's a long weekend. But it's always, like, on the Monday closest to May 24th. Or something like that. And that combined with the fact that we call boxes of beer 2-4s. Okay. So it's just become an all culture. It's May 2-4. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
So yeah, those are our two firework ones. Our Canada Day and Victoria Day. That's when we shoot fireworks. That's when we get our America on.
Do you guys have a lot of days off, like national like holidays? Because we only really have a few. Labor Day, Memorial Day.
You work in a bank.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, if you have a government job, you get way more days off.
That's true. But I'm saying, like, for the normal person.
Well, we have Easter, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Labor Day, Memorial Day. We also have, at least in Ontario, we have Family Day that they just gave us, like, less than 10 years ago. they gave us a new holiday in February.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's called Family Day.
It's a day for you to spend with your family. Yeah, it's really cool that they did that. Yeah.
We just need to have Hangover Day, where one random weekend each year, you're allowed to have that extra Monday off just so that you can recover from a long... It's the one weekend where everyone goes to debauchery.
Well, that's why Motor City's hard for me this year, because normally it's on May 2-4, and I have that Monday to recoup. And now this year, I don't. So, but I'll just take Monday off anyways. No big whoop. But we do have, like, a few civic holidays where, you know, like, government banks are closed, but people still go to work. You know what I mean?
Well, we still plan
Some people get it off.
Regardless of the holiday weekend, we still plan on coming to visit you at a con. Even if it's a small con.
Yeah.
Just to come up there and see.
Hang out, do it up. Absolutely.
Bump into people and just have them say sorry to me. Like, sorry.
Nice.
So what's your favorite part of this convention so far?
Well, there's a few things that stick out. Meeting Phoenix, my little nerdette Padawan, was really, really cool. Hooking up with Ming and having such good times podcasting with Ming Chen.
That was cool that he asked to join your network.
Yes. We probably shouldn't talk too much about that yet. It's okay. Nothing's 100%. But we are in the talks, which is very cool.
You're picking up people left and right, though, for points of interest, and that is cool.
Kind of. We're not, like, I don't want to say we're selective, but we don't search people out. We keep it natural, you know, and organic. Like, Jimmy just joined the network, and that's obviously
Drunk on Comics just joined the network, so...
Oh, yeah? Is this happening?
Yeah.
What, is this confirmed?
No.
Yeah. Are we announcing this right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was waiting to record with you to...
Well, before it's... Okay, we'll announce it kind of publicly. I still got to pass it off my partner and everything, but, yeah. Sweet. All right.
Fellas, I got to get out of here.
Jimmy's leaving.
I got to leave. I'm sorry.
No.
Great to see everybody. This is my favorite part of the con.
Goodbyes.
I was going to say the hello should be the favorite part of the con.
Get home safe.
I will. Absolutely.
Partying is such
We'll see you in like 30 days.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys.
That's pretty awesome.
Great to pod with you guys all weekend.
You too, man. Be cool, man.
We've still got some time to go in the con.
I got a couple hours. What time is it now? It's like 1 o'clock. I'll probably leave about 4. So, you know, I still got to find a Deadpool for my boy. But the only toy I can find is the Legacy one or the Legends one.
Mm-hmm.
That's like $25.
Yeah.
You know, and I just kind of wanted to get like a smaller one or something.
You know what I do? I kind of price shop. Obviously, you always price shop because each one of these like vendors some way charge more. And it's like... Really? But they sell them because people are not smart to go shop at another one and see what they can find. But also, Amazon is your friend. I type in what I'm looking at and see if I can get it cheaper on Amazon. Yeah, I can't get it now, but like if it's free, ship to my house.
I've never bought offline like Amazon. I've done like a few eBay lightsaber purchases, but that's like the extent of my online shopping.
No, and you can get some good deals sometimes cheaper than here at shows. But then again, you can get some good deals at shows too, depending on the vendor. If, you know, they're just trying to unload their stuff, or it's the last day and they just want some cash.
Man.
You know, cash is king, and you can sometimes haggle a bit.
Yeah. You always got to wait till the end of Sunday, too, because they don't want to lug all that shit home, and that's when you can kind of swing deals here, right? So maybe you get something tax-free and a little bit cheaper than it might have been. So that's why I've been holding off, but now we're reaching the time where I got to do some wheeling and dealing if I'm going to get that Deadpool.
Time, baby.
Yeah.
Jimmy,
one guy also
Jimmy
had, like,
changed.
10. Yeah. Jimmy, what happened?
Jimmy got shorter and fatter and older.
And your voice is a bit different.
I can do the Jimmy McKnight.
You just missed him, unfortunately.
No, I did see him walking out the door.
Good times. Yeah, so this one place had like 9 Deadpools, so I'm hoping that since they have so many, I'll be like, come on, take a fiver off that or something.
Yeah.
You know? $25. Come on, I only got a 20 left. You know.
For listeners at home, I'm joining late the final day 3 podcast.
Oh.
So this is for my people. You guys can edit your own
shit
out. But yeah, I got Jay and Derek and Tony with
what
us.
What are you eating?
Final,
what is that?
Day.
Turkey pastrami.
No, like what's
it's
the sauce?
Oh, no, it's just honey mustard.
It's weird.
Just stone ground.
It's like oatmeal.
Good.
Looks like you're dipping your sandwich in oatmeal.
Try it.
I'm good, thanks.
No, it's like sweet.
Yeah, just get a big spoonful of mustard. Yeah. Everybody likes mustard.
What have you been doing today? What have you been up to today?
Interviews today.
Who talked to you?
Oh, God. I barely remember. J.K. Woodward, Ian Herring.
Ain't he great?
Yeah.
J.K.?
Yeah.
Fantastic fellow, yeah. Man. Funny dude.
I literally can't remember who all I've talked to. I talked to the guys that did Last Boy on Earth. Oh, my God. Only Living Boy. I think,
okay.
Yeah,
okay.
Which is a fantastically cool book that I've been wanting to pick up. So,
Look, Judge Dredd Minion. That's fantastic.
But, yeah, I mean, I've been talking to a lot of people and getting cool. Some... I've got some fantastic people coming up on the show that I can't talk about yet, but... Yeah, I've got some good stuff.
Been
coming.
A great networking con this time.
That podcasting thing turned out to be cool. So people know we go to this. It's supposed to be like a podcast meetup in this room, and we go and we can't find anybody. There's nobody there. So we're talking like this one girl, and then this other girl shows up,
mm-hmm.
or guy, I think. Yeah, and we're like, what the hell? So Chris from All Things Good Nerdy comes in, and I'm like, yeah, you're here for this, right? And he's like, yeah, where is everybody? So everybody starts looking on their phones, trying to figure out where we're supposed to meet up, where everybody might be. And I'm like, we're fucking podcasters. What are we doing? So I just walk into the middle of this giant ballroom, and I just shout. I'm like, who's podcasters? And I see all these hands come up from this other back table.
Yeah. So like, we're on the wrong side.
Yeah, we're on
the
wrong
room.
Side. So we go over.
No, they were on the wrong side of the room.
Nice. They were technically.
Yeah. Technically they were. So we go over there, and then it just turned into like, it was weird how we all stood around like a circle group and just like, hi, my name's Jay. I'm from An Elegant Weapon. Blah, 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 blah. And we went around
and
the
I'm
circle.
An alcoholic.
Yeah. I've been podcasting for 4 years, and I really want to quit, but I don't know how.
Yeah. But he turned
YouTube
out to be really
clean
cool.
For 3 years going strong. I got my coin.
It was just really cool to hear everybody's stories and what they do and where they're from.
That was cool to do the giant picture with everyone. And
oh, I knew we had to do that. I was like,
but
we
like,
got to take a big picture.
Like you said, we were all talking about networking.
Yeah.
It's getting yourself out there and just talking. Yeah, and that's the big key.
More people that know your name, the better you're off.
You may not be able to get the interview now or talk to them now, but set those seeds, and hopefully it grows into a microphone.
What was that one guy's network that he was talking about? They got 88 fucking podcasts up their
show. Blue Media Network, maybe?
Is it Blue Media or Side something?
Yeah.
I have to look up the card, but I fucking 88 podcasts. Jesus Christ.
So what's been your best find of the weekend?
That's fine.
So they have a lot of mystery boxes here that they're selling at almost every table. And with mystery boxes, those people get those discounts of the stuff wholesale. So they're still making a profit, even though you're still getting a deal with the amount of stuff that you get. And I end up buying a $55 one only because it had this Assassin's Creed like gauntlet that I was going to buy anyways.
Nice.
That I saw pricing out at all these shops, and I was seeing it around $60. So I got it for $5 less, knowing that I saw that it was in most all of these TARDIS box looking ones. Plus, I got the TARDIS box, which that's just cool.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Had a couple other small things, but for me it was this discount. And then they are also enticing people by having like big grand prizes, and I really got pulled in of wanting to win this Voltron, knowing that I wasn't going to win it, but the chance. And,
this is so classic, Tony.
and being like, I was going to buy the gauntlet anyway, so I'm taking a chance if it's in the box, but I'm hoping it is, which it was, so that worked out for me that I bought this also with the chance to get the Voltron. Didn't get it. Thing that sucks is it's stuck in my buddy's apartment, and I have no way of getting it.
Nice.
So until I see my buddy in like a couple months next
couple
time.
Months, really?
Yeah, next time
that's
he comes
funny.
And visits hometown. I don't have this to show for it. That sucks. But it's my best find.
My most important find, I guess you could say, would be Lego Deadpool figures for my boy.
Those are cool.
Those are really neat. But other than that, I bought more comics at this con than any con I've ever been at. I got a stack of comics, so I got to get on a plane somehow.
Yeah,
so,
surprising. I don't buy as many comics. I've gotten most of like the things that I've looked for before. And when we used to be at the shows volunteering, so we had more time, we weren't doing interviews before doing the podcast. Because that's what it is now, too. I don't have a lot of time to look at stuff because we're trying to get interviews. But back in the day, man, we would fill up back seats of...
Well, I would always go with basically a short box full of comics to get signed, and I would bring a long box because I was going to fill it pretty much. And that was generally how it went. But yeah, there was that one trip that you, Kevin, and I went to Motor City, and I swear to God, his trunk was full. Kevin had like 3 paper boxes full of graphic novels and trades. Wow. And I mean, the fucking back end of that car was like a lowrider coming back from, you know, from the other side of the state, and it was ridiculous. But Derek, what'd you find? You found headphones.
I found headphones. That was a good thing after the debacle of yesterday, which we'd already discussed. I'm trying to think. I got a few graphic novels. I picked up all the Nightmare World stuff from Dirk because I didn't have it, and he was out of them at Grand Rapids Comic Con.
Which that's a good grab because Nightmare World is almost completely gone in print.
Yes, and he's running real low right now on YouTube, so that's great for him. I also, in my usual way to appease my wife, is have a different person draw a Squirrel Girl every time. So I got Seth DeBoost to do one of those for my wife, so she's happy.
Oh, nice.
So
that's very cool.
Just a different person every time, so pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome. I think probably my best find was, found a fiance.
I'd say that's
the most important.
I found new podcast members, and that was probably one of the highlights, was just podcasting with Ming Chen.
Yeah.
That brings it around kind of full circle in a way for my show, in the way that Mike Zapsik was such an important part of helping get it off the ground, you know what I mean? So what a good dude too. Like, they're so genuine, those kids.
As far as I should at least finish though, as far as the actual things in the
Comic-Con.
Yeah,
I was gonna say, besides your easily that you have
the original art that I picked up. I mean, I got a page from Jay Leisten that he and Leonard Kirk had done on X Factor, and I got a double page spread from J.K. Woodward.
I can't.
He's got covers in there for $30, and I'm like,
really?
They're just gorgeous.
One of the things that I swore that I'm not going to do, but I say that at every con, and then I end up doing shit like buying toys and stuff, is prints. So many prints that we've bought over the years, and I've never been the big original art person as you have been, but I've kind of turned it into where I have two friends of the show / just friends in general who are very talented, that it's now like a yearly thing that I just want to support them, and I want them to do a commission for me. That way it's cool, I have some original art. And Josh Werner did that amazing 80s Halloween thing last year. And then Ryan Lee did the 3 Zords, the Voltron, the Devastator, and the Megazord. And now it's turned into, Josh is going to do some weird, goofy, like, shit, and that's how it's going to be every year. He's going to do that. But then Ryan's going to do, like, a 3 pose, something that combines together, like, but, like, something going on. And I had this idea of Shredder, and I was like, someone else that's armored. And I was like, Zed's kind of got spiky armor, Lord Zed from Power Rangers.
Okay.
And I was thinking, like, how that could work. And then I was like, who's, like, another 80s something? Did you ever see Silverhawks?
Yeah.
The bad guy on there, Monstar, who, like, turns into, like, this big, spiky armored dude. And I was like, that would be great. But then I was like, Shredder feels a little left out. These two are red. And then I started thinking Darth Maul's got spiky head.
Hey.
If we do Darth Maul, Lord Zed, and stuff. And so he's going to draw it with, like, that's red and black. Nice. And I know it's going to pop out. It's one of those things, though, because of friends, I'm like, you're not going to get at this thing. Fuck, you can take a couple months. I know it's going to be awesome later.
See you next year.
Do it on your free time, you know? Yeah. And so I love, that's where I love original art, supporting friends. But you have some amazing pieces that you've picked up.
Yeah.
I got a Ryan Lee. You mentioned him. He did a little, just, you know, they do a quick sketch if you buy a book. And he did a little one, and it's really fucking crazy, like, weird. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just Ryan Lee madness, you know what I mean? He is my favorite artist today, for sure.
Cool. So, well, I would say, though, probably one of my top things was just actually being able to sit and chat with you guys, you know, kind of sit down, get to hang with my friends, we get to podcast together, because, you know, with me being on the solo thing now and Jay being on the solo thing, you know, you don't really have that same sit and let's bullshit kind of stuff that I did for so long, and I gotta admit I miss a little bit of that stuff.
Well, it's been great too, because as many times, hey, we got to meet up at the bar.
Wasn't totally alone, though. I mean, I had Jimmy here, fellow network member, so, you know, we're used to sitting around and bullshit, but it's always nice to... I feel like I've been recorded this entire weekend.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've got hours of recording on my thing. I was looking at it, I was like, oh my God. When did I even do all that?
I think I'll probably have two episodes that'll come out of this. We'll see.
Yeah.
But it's all going to, it'll depend on how much more I get yet today.
Nice. Yeah. Yes.
Yep.
That's because I think a bunch of mine are like 10, and then I get a few 20s, but then there's times when we've just turned it on for like 3 hours and left it on.
Done random conversations.
And that's great, except for then you have to edit that.
Yeah, but I don't mind, because I don't mind editing so much, but it's also rare. It's not like we're doing a con for every episode every week where I'm going to have to sit down. But yes, this, I will probably have to sit down and spend 3 days editing all that shit out and together, but it's worth it when it's such a good con like this.
Well, that's what I love about my work schedule is I take the Mondays off, and it's the best thing that ever.
You have to.
You need to have that own day to relax and just do nothing, because this is work for us. But it's fun work, but it's still work.
Yeah.
And I felt like this show, out of any of the shows too, though, was a little bit. It was a little bit more relaxed.
I hear that.
You know, because it was more, like I said, networking. We didn't get a lot of interviews, but we have them set up for later. And it's great to set up for Skype. That way you can just do it when it works best for everyone.
I'll actually record.
And I would like to say, I would like to give a very, if he hears this, Mr. Bob Sally, I would like to extend our appreciation for the fact that he went out and bought himself an actual proper mic. And he is telling all his artist friends to do the same. And he's like, because he's listened to podcasts and like, are, you know, just, you know, the four of them just using their laptop mic or whatever the fuck. And, you know, it's good advice. If you're a comic creator, if you're an indie creator and you plan to do podcasts, drop $60 to $100 on a mic just so you sound that much better and people will listen, you know. So he did that. And he was telling all his friends to do that. And I was like, thank you, man. You understand how much we appreciate that. You know what I mean? So good on you, Bob Sally. And you're a hell of a nice guy, too.
Well, cool, guys. It's time for me to head up and get some stuff packed up and then hit the floor for a couple more hours before we get out of here. But
you haven't had to check out yet?
No, we're special.
Oh, they kicked us out at noon.
Yeah. No, we're special because somebody has like a Hyatt Cool Points.
Hyatt card is legit.
I'm
hey, while
special.
You're up there, keep
that's
your eye
why
out
you're
for
married.
A little gray USB thing about this long.
I don't think that's going to matter for the people listening at home.
Charger. No, it won't matter for me, though.
I see why you're marrying Mel now. She's got the Hyatt card.
Yeah. Yep.
And I'm the one with the microphone, bitches.
All right. You're just getting deported.
Oh, shit. INS. Out of here.
Nice. All right. See ya. We are now.
Yeah, I don't really want to move at all, so we're just going to kind of sit here with the music in the background.
It's like a party.
Hopefully it's not too loud, but hopefully we will project our voices above it.
All right.
But we're just fucking tired from the con.
Yeah, fair enough. This has been a beat down of a week, but it's been productive.
Yeah.
We talked to a lot of people.
Yeah.
one of which we're about to talk to, which is pretty exciting, since we're trying to interview some different people doing different things at this convention. We have Will Jones with us, aspiring artist.
Yes, indeed.
Tell us a little bit about your background, Will.
I was born in Chesapeake, Virginia. Moved up to Grand Rapids, Michigan when I was 13. And the art fire didn't start until around that time. You know, taking art classes at Kendall and kind of figuring out what I wanted to do. And comics weren't much of an option until I started reading more of them as a teenager and really started taking this seriously and making pages at around a year, 2 years ago.
Okay.
So it's great to be here. Yeah.
Is the Grand Rapids comic scene, like, is that a place that you found is easy to get into, or?
It wasn't until the first year of Grand Rapids Comic Con that I realized that there were more people in Grand Rapids into comics and trying to make their own than I thought. I didn't think there would be very, very many, but being introduced to the people in the area who were trying to create, it opened my eyes to kind of meeting different types of people who want to tell different types of stories.
Yeah.
So, well, a big reason why we want to talk to you today is you went through the process of trying to get some of your work submitted to. Where'd you go to? Just Marvel today, or
I went to Marvel and by luck got the interest of DC, the DC talent scout also.
Okay, and kind of wanted to know just what that's like. I mean, we know many artists that they've done that. I mean, if you're not wanting to get in comic books, I mean, why are you doing it? You're going to try to submit your portfolio. But I've always wondered what that process is like, and we've never actually asked some of our friends that. So we got you here now. Tell us what it was.
It's a lot of work and a lot of study. What I've been hearing from a lot of artists that there are people who want to make comics but don't know how it's done. It's not just, you know, not just being good with pencil and ink, not just having really, really nice looking artwork. There's a science to it. And it requires studying some of the best, like studying a lot of your influences and applying it, you know, and making it your own. And that takes, you know, years.
Now, taking Saturday to the 3 p.m. Star Realms tournament. Once again, Star Realms.
So, you guys, if you want to get in the Star Realms tournament, it's at 3 p.m.
I don't even know.
Also, for those of you here still partying with us at C2E2, don't forget to come take demos of fun exciting games. Block to Block and Dixie Cold Express and Splendor from Asmodee International. Asmodee North America. Once again, take time for the sound tournament from Demo Games.
This is what we get for recording in the gamer.
Yeah.
Tabletop area.
Yup. Although, you don't hear that anywhere else, no. So it's kind of crazy. Yeah. But anyways.
You were saying.
Okay.
Yeah, take the time to study. It's not a quick process, you know, even with the sit-downs and even with the advice portfolio, and with the portfolio reviews, it's not just going to be a... It's definitely not going to be an overnight thing, so I'm going to have to, you know, hit it even harder, but I know exactly where I need to improve.
Like, I looked at your work, and it looks good. Like, what exactly is it that...
At this point, it's small things. It's small things that just need to get more and more refined the more pages you do. Any of the freshmen, you know, they'll tell you, yeah, the pages I submitted or I worked on that got me into the industry are things that where I didn't know where I was or what I was doing. You know, the more time you spend with it, the more refined you get. And sure, yeah, these pages are good enough to draw the attention, because these talent scouts, they see the potential and they want to get a hold of those, you know, really talented people who can improve and make sure to be able to guide them in the right direction to try to make sure that they're improving in the right way and, you know, and leading to, you know, getting higher.
Who do you think influences your art?
It depends. Like, I have different lists for directly to my art style and the people who influence me in terms of how I tell the story on a page. Like, style-wise, I'll give them three. Stuart Eminem, sure, style-wise, you know, through a lot of kids really been coming back on the rise through Marvel, with doing all new X-Men and, having Empress coming up soon with Mark Millar. It is independent work, but he has a lot of, I really like how he plays with light and shadow. In that same realm, Brian Stelfreeze, Shadow of the Bat, and now recently the new Black Panther series that's coming up. And, of course, really Walter Simonson, Thor, all that great Thor stuff in the early 80s. A huge influence on texture work and detail. Those three are the key influences to style I draw.
Well, obviously, you know, there's the influences that we see within our friends' work, but then what you feel makes yours unique? Like, Scotty Young, he's got his own kind of, you know, cartoony, you know, not babies, but young, you know, people that he draws his stuff with. Stegman's kind of got his art style, but, like, some people do more cartoony, some people do more real. What is yours? I mean, we got your influences, but, like, how would you define how you draw?
I feel like it's in between. I think my style has a lot of hard edges to it. I try to keep it as clean as possible, using a lot of, like, bold, like, thick contours so the characters pop out, but have very sharp cuts of shadow and detail inside of figures. The background, so I try to keep it clean, but I don't want to be really, really, really realistic, but I'm not incredibly cartoony, exaggerated, so I want to stay right in the middle.
Is there proper terms that artists use for those styles? Because we've been talking about a lot on our podcast of, this is cartoony. Yeah, this is cartoony, or those are the words we have. Either cartoony or more real.
Realistic. But yeah. I feel like there's so many in between, like...
Are there proper terms that you guys use?
For, like, I'm not that I know of for a particular in-between, but there's usually on those spectrums, to be able to label cartoony or really realistic, like, you can tell, you have your Scotty Youngs, and then you have, like, the Brian Hitchens on the realistic side of things.
So really, we just need to create a spectrum.
And I don't know these are particular terms. I just try to, take what bits and pieces I like from my influences and add my own kind of flair to it and apply it in my own way.
So if you could draw for Marvel or DC, what book would you really, really want? If they were like, all right, you're awesome, you get to pick the book you work on, what book would that be?
We're not even limited to them. Like, maybe some other publisher. Like, what's your dream book?
Dream book is definitely something X-Men related. I feel like that's probably everyone's. A lot of the Marvel artists that I love had some kind of stint on an X-Men run. So that's definitely a go-to. Big team book. Really be able to draw the characters as you see them. Usher in an audience who will be able to look at your work and be like, okay, yeah, this, I like the way these X-Men look. And, that allows them to follow you around as you hop from book to book. X-Men for sure would be great for the Marvel side of things. I think X-Men is probably the one.
It's the big
holy grail, at least for that. Like, and be able to draw different types of characters.
Right on. So what's the deal with Cyclops? Hate him, love him.
We're
doing a poll.
Yeah, Cyclops. I was never the biggest fan of Cyclops. That was until Avengers vs. X-Men. And one of the many things that I feel is, like, all new X-Men has an all-star team. Bendis, Eminem, Marte Gracio, the colors. It's a beautiful book. But it's taking place after the events of Avengers vs. X-Men, where, Cyclops gets possessed by the Phoenix and kills Charles Xavier. And...
Spoilers?
Spoilers.
That's like two years
that's
ago.
The thing. No one, there's no, you don't need a poll. Does anyone really care about Charles Xavier?
No.
So, but those characters do. So with all new X-Men starting, and it being so much focusing on Beast going back to bring the X-Men of the past to make the current Cyclops make him feel bad about doing that, but there are characters who could tell, that the Phoenix Wars drastically changed people's powers. So there are characters who would be able to tell, like, Cyclops is trying, like, look, I was possessed. You were possessed. We were in this together. Why is it my fault? It wasn't my fault, and nobody believes it. That makes me feel really bad for Cyclops. Like not being a fan or not, like, having the people, the characters I love be like, yeah, but still. Like, at the end of that book, it's like, hey, man. Like, Wolverine being like, hey, look. So you kill Charles Xavier. Yeah, but I was possessed by the Phoenix Force. Yeah, but someone's got to take the fall for this still. And that was messed up. And so in the past... Next year, like, I never hated Cyclops. I was like, oh yeah, his power's not all that cool, but I'm actually excited, like, with all new X-Men, I really excited with Cyclops. Like, yeah, these guys suck. You should start a new school with people who are clearly just can't see past what you did, even though the circumstances were out of your hands.
So I kind of want to go back a little bit on the whole portfolio thing. Yeah. When you're going to submit a portfolio, what particular are they looking for? Like, what type of pieces do you have to show them to prove that you can do it?
It's a lot of people, I feel like a lot of people don't realize how important storytelling is. Like, it can look as good as it was, but if there's no connection between your panels, they're not going to give time. It needs to be so stylish and beautiful that it draws their attention for them to be like, okay, probably you can work on your storytelling, but your storytelling needs to be there. It can't just be beautiful shots of characters with no real no real continuity and no real flow. So I spent this, you know, the past year getting these pages together to really, really focus on my story, because that's where I was lacking. My first set of pages from last year. And, you know, it was on my long list of things to improve on, and this year has been, and no one said, no, your storytelling is fine. It just needs small tweaks, but, you know, it's nothing that jumps out people and be like, yeah, you really need to work on this. Sarah Chuck's thing, being able to take the flow of the stories and guide the viewer's eyes along the page is really, really important. I put that as really important for the comics I read. You can look as good as you want, but if the storytelling's not there, if you're not making the viewer look exactly where you want them to, with like simple light and shadow and compositional things, then that really jumps out to me. I spend so much time focusing on it for myself.
Okay.
And so when you get these reviewed, is it like you're literally sitting there going over it with them?
Yes.
Or do you drop it off and then come back later?
You drop off through... I have two copies, photocopies of smaller portfolios. If it didn't make the cut, they toss them out. So it was a small portfolio with copies. I have the originals. They can get tossed out. I don't care. But they do keep it. If it makes the cut, they keep the portfolios that you're down and go through where there's what we'd like to see. And it does vary with the amount of information that they do give you. It varies on what they see in you. They wouldn't have called you back if they couldn't see that you can improve it. You can improve it, and it'd be even more higher with the amount of time that you can put in.
That's cool.
Yeah. So did you talk to any of the smaller publishers around here outside of the big ones?
I wanted to. My goal was to really sweep through, because at this point I didn't expect to sit down with Marvel. I didn't expect to draw the attention of the DC talent scout. I didn't expect any of that. I just wanted to come through, show my work to artists, and when it comes down to just check out the small publishers and just get some work out there. Get some work done. With the time that's left in the con, I still have time to go and check it out. But, the big guys that I ideally wanted to get the attention of came through.
That's super
but
awesome.
I still got work to do.
So what's the next step then?
After this is wrapped, going home and getting back to work.
Yeah. And then do you have to go through the same process again, or is there since you've already gone through one, there's a second level that you go through?
The upside, if they like you and if they see the report finished with you, they give you their contact information. That's just not out there on the internet.
Right.
So it's a send us an email, follow up, ask questions if you want any sample scripts to work off of, work on those pages, and what I'm going to do is pretty much send new stuff every month with greater and greater improvements.
Awesome.
Until
cool.
Someone goes like, all right, I think it's time to be ready.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that's super awesome. We really appreciate you giving us that insight, because that's not something we've ever talked about with anyone before.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no problem.
That's really cool, and I'm sure there's people out there listening that kind of have a lot of those questions, so now they have an idea of what to do. So we really appreciate it, Will. Right, thanks so much for sitting down with us for a few minutes.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thanks.
And that does it for this episode of Drunk on Comics. We want to thank you, all the fans, new and old alike, that came up and spoke with us at the convention. We also want to apologize one more time for not having more content to bring you from C2E2. But with that, one side note, when we were recording our normal podcast, which unfortunately also got deleted, Jay from An Elegant Weapon came on down, and we just decided to say, hey, you got a final word? And he just said, Triceratops. No contacts, no nothing. So that's your final word for this week. I guess shoot him a message to find out what it means. And with that, stay thirsty for con season.